Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A friend of mine who is 93-year-old, still very active priest, told me that in his first year of ministry, he brought the First Communion kids on a tour of the church, and he was pointing out things to them, and he asked them questions. Who is that? And that's the Sacred Heart. And who is that? That's the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he says, and why is Mary's foot on the head of the dragon? And this one girl said, well, let me ask her. And she knelt down and prayed for a little while and said, well, she told me that her foot is on the head of the serpent because she's the most indigent of all creatures. And the priest said, do you know what indigent means? I said, no, but that's what she said. He kind of kept his distance from that girl after that. Notice that it's precisely her humility that allows her to triumph. Because of her humility, she conquers pride itself, pride in the form of this fallen angel. And this is a battle that is the story of all of sacred scripture. And we see these bookends from the Proto-Evangelium in Genesis 3:15, when God prophesies that the woman will crush the head of the serpent and her offspring will be at war with him, this woman. And then we heard in the entrance antiphon this great sign that appeared in heaven, and it goes on to describe the Blessed Virgin Mary in chapter 12, verse 1 of Revelations. And nonetheless, the verses right before that, obviously these divisions of chapters and versicles that came later, the verses right before that, in other words, the last verses of chapter 11, reveal the Ark of the Covenant. And then it describes the Blessed Mother. What is the Ark? The Ark was that container, that tabernacle, so to say, this box made of acacia and gilded in gold with a mercy seat on top of it. And inside were carried the tablets of the law, God's word, the rod of Aaron, his staff, with which he did miracles, and also something of a symbol of his priesthood, and a bowl of manna. So all of these prefigurings, so to say, in this original tabernacle. And who more than the Blessed Virgin is the Ark, who carried all of that within her, and not in type form, not in figure, but in flesh. The Word of God made flesh in her womb, who is the only and the eternal high priest, who is the bread of life. She bears him in her womb. She is the ultimate Ark of the Covenant. The next time you're in Paris, go to Notre Dame and look at the left portico of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you'll see this beautiful statue of her as a queen, appropriately carrying the Christ child, and right above her is the box, is the Ark of the Covenant, and then there's a relief of her dormition, and then the crowning as Queen of Heaven and Earth. And remember too, all of these things, they sound beautiful and glorious, and they certainly are, but as we heard in the epistle, this is in the context of combat, mortal combat. The Ark was carried into combat in front of the troops to assure victory. The Ark went missing. The Jews were not always faithful, and they lost the Ark. It was recovered once, and was brought to David, and it says that David arose with his soldiers and went into the hill country of Judea. This is 2 Samuel chapter 6. And he goes to a house. The Ark has been recovered, and it's brought to him at this house that he's staying at. And he panics. He says, who am I that the Ark of the Covenant should come to me? He was in fear, and rightfully so. a man had just died who had touched the ark who wasn't supposed to. So David was a bit nervous, understandably so. When he calmed down later, he dances in front of this ark. And some understand it, some don't, some make fun of him. Why do I bring that up? Because we see the fulfillment of that here. If we had heard just a few verses before of today's gospel, it says Mary arose. This is after the Annunciation. She arose and she went into the hill country of Judea. Same words, same verbs. To do what? She goes to her cousin Elizabeth. And what does Elizabeth say? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And what does John do? He dances. And that's the verb. It says leaps, it says jumps. He dances in the womb of Elizabeth. Right after the entrance antiphon, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, 12 stars as a crown. After this glorious image, disaster, battle. We can be consoled on a beautiful feast as this, and we ought to be. And there are times when we just marvel and wonder at the mysteries of our faith, what has been revealed, what we know is true and absolute, unchanging. And it should be a source of joy and consolation, but we don't rest on our oars. We don't rest in consolation merely. Rather, it's a strengthening for battle behind the Ark of the Covenant, behind the Blessed Virgin Mary, with her in front of us, with our fidelity to her, with our renewed commitment to her and our consecration, as we'll do after Mass. We reaffirm what already exists, not because it ceased to exist or we failed, but because love needs to be repeated. Love needs to be manifested or it grows stale. A Protestant told me that as a Catholic, I was guilty of vain repetition in my prayer. And I asked him if he ever told his wife that he loved her. And he said yes. And I said, once was enough. Once was enough. Otherwise, it's vain repetition. We do these things not to merely repeat, but to solidify, to deepen, to reaffirm, but also to gain graces. Our Lord doesn't set us up for failure. When we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, He gives us the graces to live up to it. And so we make the commitment, and then we trust, and then we act. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.